I'm going to read from the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel, the whole chapter. The familiar one, because it's headed Daniel in the Den of Lions. You've heard that before. Listen to the reading of his word. It pleased Darius, King Darius, to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of the government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man, except to you, O king, should be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree that you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed, and he was determined to rescue Daniel, and he made every effort before sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king again and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of the nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called out to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I found myself innocent in his sight. Nor have I done anything before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, quote, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. End of quote. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Thanks be to God, for he always blesses the reading of his word.
Yeah. You ever notice that we turn things into children's stories that really shouldn't be children's stories? We make like these little cuddly lions that are just sitting there, and Daniel's just sitting there like this, and no lions come. But this was a huge predicament, and Daniel found himself in a place in which I think some of us may face not exactly the same type of predicament, but difficulty and struggle and trying to figure out what to do in a situation where we could easily compromise our faith. We could easily compromise who God is and what God's doing. And we could easily become someone that we don't want to become, but we end up becoming that person because of choice. And Daniel decided not to be that person. Someone observed that only mediocre people are always at their best. Some of you got that. There's a fine line between success and failure, and Daniel was somebody that every predicament he found himself in, every situation, he seemed to rise to the top. And some of us would go, well, I don't know, that's really never been me. I've never really risen to the top in every situation. And I would say, all of us have failed and fallen short in different ways. Would you agree with that? But God can enable us through those situations to learn and grow and then eventually rise to the top. It's a matter of choices. It's a matter of decisions that we make. And Daniel seemed to, most of the time, actually every time we see in the scriptures, he made decisions that led him to rise above the people that were leading with him. And the heathen kings took notice. And they took notice of his leadership abilities. They took notice of the way he led people. They took notice of the way that he made decisions. Like, his leadership style altogether was so powerful that even though he was a foreigner and multiple kings reigned when he was administrator, he did different things in authority. He started off as really nobody, as a slave, and he rose to the top, and he impacted nations and impacted kings. How many of us have ever impacted a king? People smile, but no one says, that was me. I've done it. But I would say we actually would never really know for sure if we've impacted kings. You may think that's a bizarre thing. But there are people in our life that we've maybe planted seeds, we've talked to, we've connected with, we've shared our faith with, that you never know where God's going to take somebody else. Maybe you haven't impacted a king, but maybe someone that you've impacted has impacted a king. Make sense? So God puts us in places, strategic places at strategic times with strategic people that we don't even know. But we need to be praying in that way. Lord, provide me divine appointments and allow me to know when I'm in them and allow me to know what to say when I'm in them so I can impact people's lives. It's a different way of thinking and a different way of praying, but it should be a way we typically pray. Daniel was always ready for that divine moment. He was always ready to step up and be who God wanted him to be. And I wonder why so frequently or so infrequently in our faith journey? Do we actually step up and become the person that God has for us to be in the situations that God puts us in order to impact lives? Because Daniel impacted the lives of people that did not follow God. And he did it in such significant ways that they automatically, when he came into a difficult predicament, they automatically came back and said, you know, the God that you serve could save you. I mean, how powerful is this? When Daniel is getting... I'm not preaching from my sermon right now, but I'm preaching my sermon right now. Do you know what I mean? Daniel is wrestling with what to do. But he says, I am not going to compromise. I will not compromise. I will not do what everybody else is doing despite my life potentially being taken. This king, Darius, basically through the persuasion of these other leaders, decides that he is going to appoint himself as a god for 30 days, that the people had to worship him and nobody else. Nebuchadnezzar had something similar, didn't he? It's the P word, pride. That pride was just overwhelming in his heart and mind, I think, that, yeah, you know what, they're right. People should worship me. I am the best. I should reign. I do reign. I am king. You know what? I'm going to make people say I'm king of kings. We know what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, right? From what we've talked about in the text prior, we discover that Nebuchadnezzar looked over his city and said, oh, I'm the best. Look at what I have done. Look at my accomplishments. Look at this city. Look at all these people. And boom, he lost everything. And he was in the fields on his hands and knees eating grass and growing fingernails as long as bird's nails. And he had hair all straggly and crazy. And I'm sure he smelled foul. Well, Darius finds himself in this place where he decides to go with the flow of the other leaders and say, you know what? If they look at me like this, then maybe I should be a god. And maybe, you know what? I think I am a god, so I will be God for 30 days. Daniel finds out that this edict is passed. And what does he do? He ends up coming to this place in which he says, I am not going to compromise my faith. I don't care what happens. And it's likely Daniel was in his 80s. He was likely in Babylon for about 60 years at this point. And if you see like little storybooks and things, when Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den, he's like this young boy, right? It's likely Daniel was quite old. He had a lot of experience. He had gone through a lot, and he had seen God do incredible things through his journey. And unlike the other Israelites who went through the desert and saw seas rise and Pharaoh's army wiped out and manna from heaven and water coming from a stone and all these amazing things happen, he was not deterred. He did not go in a direction contrary to what God had for him. He chose to move forward in Christ. You may say, what do you mean in Christ? Well, you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace? When the fourth person appeared, it's likely that was a Christological, you know, there's Christ in the furnace with these men. Wow. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? All right. We're a little ahead, but this is it. Daniel chose character over comfort. That's what he did. He chose character over comfort. In our lives, do we choose character over comfort, or do we choose comfort over character? When we have to make decisions that will determine our character, do we make them that will enable us, unlike some of these Fortune 500 corporations that make decisions that are completely contrary to character or ethics, and they make decisions, or how about, let's get to ourselves. How about something like income taxes? How about something like if you're a student in an exam? Are you willing to compromise your character, get some answers right on a test? Daniel chose character over comfort. A letter was sent to the IRS, and it stated this: "Dear sirs, last year when I filed my income tax return, I deliberately misrepresented my income. Now I cannot sleep. Enclosed is a check for $150 for taxes. If I still can't sleep, I will send you the rest." Right? When conviction comes, may the conviction that comes convict us in such a way that we will move to a place where it's full conviction and we fully turn back to God rather than turning away from God and just saying, "I'll give you a little piece of this, God. You know, I messed up here, but I'm just going to give you this little piece, and I'm not going to trust you with the rest." It is easy to compromise our virtues, especially when this type of behavior has been embraced by a lot of society. Would you agree with that? That a lot of society has embraced unethical practices in many avenues, in many different corporate settings, and even in academia in some ways. And there are some circles in which it's okay to do certain things. And everybody, if you've talked to people recently that aren't following after God, or even some people that do say they follow after God, you'll find this: "Well, you know what? That's not okay with me. But if it's okay with them, then that's okay." Have you ever heard that? I will tell you, it has infiltrated the community of faith in all sorts of different ways. We have come to be a place where we have been compromising over and over and over again. God's looking and saying, "What are you doing?" He's saying it to me. He's saying it to you. He's saying it to our country. He's saying it to our world. We need to be people that are held to a higher standard. I hear a lot of people say, "Well, as a pastor, as a teacher, you're held to a higher standard." What I say to that when people say that to me, I say right back to them, "So are you." Right? Why do we put people on pedestals? None of us is better than anybody else sitting here. And if you are, come on up here, because I'm not good enough to even be doing this. It's only through God that I can stand up in front of you, because I am not perfect, just as you're not perfect. But God still uses us despite ourselves. Yes? God used Daniel despite himself. Daniel was not perfect. In the scriptures, we do not see Daniel sin one time. However, we do know that Daniel did have issue with sin, because we all do, right? There was only one that was perfect. Does anyone know who that was? Yes. Listen to what 2 Peter 1, 5-9 says. "Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his sin." Ready? From his past sin. I wonder, do we forget what's happened? Do we forget that we've been cleansed, that we've been set free when we believe in Christ as our Lord and our Savior and our God? I want to read to you what Darius said about Daniel. This is in verse 16 of 6. And it's 16b. So it says, when Daniel's about to be thrown into the lion's den, Darius, he goes up to Daniel. I don't know if he said it from afar, but he says, "Daniel," he says, May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. May your God, who you serve, continually rescue you. May that hit us right here this morning. May our God, who we continually serve, rescue us. Do we continually serve God? Because if we do, He will rescue us. All the dilemmas, all the messed up stuff, all the calamity that this life throws at us, God can and does and will rescue us. And if we actually follow Him and believe in Him and trust in Him, we have no need to fear. We can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil and fear no one, because God is with us. His rod and His staff, they comfort us. And if you don't know what that's talking about, it's talking about a shepherd and how that shepherd watches over the sheep, and His rod and His staff, they comfort us. Daniel knew that God's rod and staff comforted him. No matter what would happen, no matter what life threw at him, His rod and His staff was there to comfort him. The second thing that we discover from this text is that Daniel excelled because he chose discipline over disorder. If we look at our lives, sometimes there's reason why our lives are so dysfunctional and so disordered. Because we haven't been disciplined in our approach, in our faith, in our spiritual journey with God. And we haven't been disciplined in the decisions that we make. And we haven't been people that have made the choices that would ultimately bring God honor. I would say this, though. Sometimes there are times in our lives when we've been disciplined, and there's all sorts of disorder in our life because other people inflict crazy stuff on us. But out of that calamity, God can bring order. And He can bring us to a place when we are disciplined followers of the way. God can allow us to experience His power in ways that we can never think or process on our own. Look at verse 10. It says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." You see, Daniel did not change how vital God is to his life. He did not change the mentality, his approach. He stayed disciplined. He stayed convicted. He stayed the course. And it didn't matter, because Daniel came to this place where he said, God is always going to be the top priority of my life. No matter what extenuating circumstances come in my path, God is going to be number one. Husbands, wives, children of moms and dads, which incorporate most of us. Would you say all of us? This third point, love over life. Daniel came to this place where he realized that love is even more important than life. And he had this intimate, dynamic relationship with God. And he had this deep, embedded love for God that was so overwhelming that it didn't matter. You could take his life. You could do whatever you wanted to him, but it didn't matter, because God's love overflowed. This agape love overflowed in his heart and in his mind and cleansed him, and he knew that God was real. We live in an age where being an atheist is cool. I read this book a while back, and it was written by Ravi Zacharias, and it's called The New Atheist. And if you've never read that book, it's not that long, but it is potent. It will hit you, and you'll be able to understand a whole bunch of thought process of the new atheist. And if you don't know who Ravi Zacharias is, you should look him up on YouTube because that man can preach. He's an apologist. Anyway, the reason why some people succeed while others fail has little to do with abilities. Most of our failures can be traced to the absence of that discipline. But when we come to this love thing, when we come to Daniel excelling because he chose love over life, a new law had been issued, and Daniel said, I understand the law, but I understand that God, this particular law, God is above. See, I've been in a conversation where people say, well, yeah, it might be the law, but I don't need to abide by that law. The only time we don't abide by the laws of the land is when it's contrary to the scriptures, when it's contrary to what the scriptures clearly communicate, like oppression of people or not following after God. That's when we go, whoa, 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 that abuts what I believe, and that's something that is completely contrary. So I am going to follow God before I follow that man-made law. I've been in multiple dialogues with people that say, hey, you know, I can drink. I'm not of age, but other people drink. It's just a law. I've had people say, I can do such and such drug because, you know, I have this ailment or that ailment, and it really helps me. I have seen people struggle in such horrific ways by not following after this law. Because if we follow after this law, first and foremost, then God's going to bless us in ways we just don't know. And this is not just law, this is life. This breathes life into us. Because when Jesus came, he spoke against those that kept pushing law, 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 right? The Pharisees. You brood of vipers, right? How would you like to go and somebody that you that society has to follow because of religion, and you go up and you brood of vipers, right? Jesus would call them all sorts of names because he knew that following after God has is more important than anything else. Daniel knew that. Jesus was 100% man, 100% God, and you may go, whoa, that just blew my mind, man. We'll talk later. But in Jesus' humility and his humanity, because he humbled himself, he came to a place where he had to rely on Abba, just as much we have to rely on Abba. Why do you think he was sweating blood in the garden when he's about to, when he knows he's about to die? He's sweating. If this cup can be passed from me, let it be. But we find in that passage in Daniel 6:10, that it didn't matter. The law had been passed, the edict had been passed, and Daniel said, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to trust God. I want you to imagine, the king goes down. He can't sleep because he really respected Daniel, and he knew that Daniel was someone that was so different than anybody he had ever met. And maybe you've known somebody like that, that was so different than anybody you've ever met, that you just wanted to be around them. You wanted to learn from them. You wanted to grow. You knew you could learn a lot from them, and you just wanted to be around them. That's who Daniel was. He was like that. So he gets tossed into the lion's den, and Darius cannot sleep. He does not have anybody entertain him. He does not eat. He fasts. He's like, I don't know what to do. I can imagine he's pacing. He's going, oh, man, oh, man. What's going to happen? Daniel, okay, Daniel. Yeah, I hope your God helps you. I know. Yeah, your God can help you. I've seen your God do amazing things. And this is what happens. Daniel, this is Darius. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve, ready? Has your God whom you serve continually, not just once in a while. We like to serve God once in a while when it's convenient for us. No, God calls out. No, Darius calls out and says, your God who you serve continually. It's not just like this mediocre faith that I'm lukewarm, but I don't care. On Sunday, I'll be on fire. Here I am. Look at me. I'm such a great Christian. But then we go home and we're like, you're such a ba 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 ba. And then we go crazy, right? No. Who you serve continually. Who you serve continually. It's not this passing thing. It's like, God, you're number one no matter what. You're number one. And I am going to follow you despite what happens in my life. You are the one I am going to follow first and foremost. That was what Daniel did. And pagan kings took notice. And if the kings took notice, don't you think the people took notice too? Daniel, this king, maybe sprinted down to the lion's den where the rock was over it. Remove the rock. Take my insignia off. Just rip it away. I want to see if Daniel's there. Daniel! Daniel! Are you there? The God that you serve continually, did he save you? Did the God that you serve continually, did he save you? Imagine being Darius. Just imagine being him. And you hear this voice. Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I even, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. What does it say, the king? The king. The king was overjoyed. He was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted God, his God. I think some of us are saying, you know what? I think I've been in the lion's den for a while. I need to be lifted out. I need to be protected. I need to be set free. I need that same God that Daniel served to come and rescue me and to save me and to carry me out and protect me. I need that same God. I need that same God that saved. Because the same God that saved Daniel is the same God that we can and some of us do follow today. I don't know that we believe like Daniel believed. I don't know if we follow like Daniel followed. And I don't know that we have the conviction that Daniel had, that God would do immeasurably more than anything we could hope for, want, or desire. I wonder if we lived like that, what life would be like. I wonder if we lived like that, what love would overflow from our hearts, and how many people would discover who God is, because God would bless us in leadership, and he would bless us in the places we find ourselves, and he would bless us to become people that can teach missionaries to go all over the world and do amazing things, and can allow people to do things that they just don't feel capable of. God can do immeasurably more than we could ever fathom. Do we believe it? What? Some of you may be going, I don't know if I believe it. I don't know. I really don't know. All right, there was a gruesome part in here that I bet when you read, we read it together that you cringed. The king gathered all the satraps and all the different people that were leading, right? Leaders. And he took them. And he brought them and their entire families and threw them in the den. Fathers, mothers, the decisions that you make have huge consequences. Showing integrity or not showing integrity, living lives of character or non-character have huge, tremendous, impactful implications on the lives of your children and the generations after, the generations after that. You may not look at it that way, but the decisions we make will impact the generations to come. Daniel recognized that, and he lived it. May we live lives that are ones of character, overcoming comfort, discipline, overcoming disorder, and love, overcoming life. I'm going to read one more thing. I know it's very hot in here. Can you hang with me? We're just going to read 26 and 27 together. I'm so fascinated nobody fell asleep yet. If you did, you're really good because I didn't notice. And someone's head may be in the way. All right, let's go to 26 and 27. I issue a decree. This is Darius again. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and revere the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. Daniel prospered in every single kingdom he was a part of. It's amazing to me. So God, three things to take away from just those small passages. God is alive. And he shows it by the way he acts in history, responding to the requirements of justice and the needs of his people. The second thing is that God's rule is eternal. Unlike the empires built by mortals, his rule, his reign is eternal. And God, the third thing is God miraculously delivers his people. With wonders in heaven and on earth, once again, God acted redemptively to strengthen his people's faith in him. He acted redemptively. So what's the takeaway from this? When we move forward this week and for the rest of our lives, may we be people that choose character over comfort. May we choose discipline over disorder. And may we choose love over life, that love of God. God, there's so much that I'm sure is going on in the hearts and the lives of people in here. God, I ask, Lord, that you, Lord, will humble us and allow us to be open to what you have for us. God, allow us not to be people that live a mediocre faith, Lord. May we embrace you as our Lord and our Savior. Lord, may you refresh us and renew us every day. God, if there are some in here that are wrestling with who you are and trying to figure it out, Lord, I ask, God, that your Spirit will convict their hearts right now, and they will call out to you as the God and the Savior of their life. Lord, you are our Redeemer. You take our sinful nature and you redeem us, and we thank you, God. Amen.